Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Lummi Sports Show. I'm Brian Babyface Matroni. The show is always hosted by the incomparable Lummix Warren Garrison. And we're joined today, very special guest, by Juan. 1-2 in his picks 2 weeks ago, Rhett the Filthy Ginger.
Was it 1-2 or 2-1?
You were 1-2. Brian and I
Juan.
Were 2-1.
Juan,
hey, listen, it's better than the week before when you didn't get any.
Yeah, that's true.
That's when we were joined by Owen.
Yes.
0-3.
He's won it.
He's won today.
If he gets two, what's two, Brian?
He'll be Tua.
Tua.
Which one did I get? Do you know?
No, I do not remember, but I had him written down, and there was a little, after the hurricane, a little cleanup. Papers went flying.
They got
papers
swept away in a hurricane.
Might have been where my USB drive went, but it's all good. Welcome to the Lummi Sports Show. Thank you, Brian.
How you doing, Lum Lum?
Good.
How'd you guys weather the storm?
813-90-BUBBA, 813-90-BUBBA. We did good. It was actually with our Lute house, which I'm kind of up by you a little bit.
Yeah.
It was pretty much a nothing burger. I took the goats in. I didn't know if you saw that.
But yeah, I did see that. Did you guys lose power at all?
Nope, did not lose
Neither
power.
Neither did we.
Bubba gave me a generator from Jeff Touch, who now is Jeff Generac. And yeah, we did good. The goats, Walker loved the goats.
It must have been the way the bands were coming through that we just, like, that area just did not get hit. We bad enough to lose power because we didn't lose it once.
We didn't. Now, our lines are buried. Obviously, it's a
newer neighborhood. Yeah, we're underground, too.
But there were a couple people around us, a couple neighborhoods around us that lost it. But I noticed that they have the above ground. And then Rhett, the Filthy, he actually went out to Jacksonville, right?
Palatka, maybe like an hour south. But yeah, I mean, realistically, I drove up there for 16 hours, turned around, came back. You know, I probably could have stayed here.
Probably? You absolutely could have stayed here.
No, I absolutely could have stayed here. But it's only 2 hours away. So once we found out we were doing a show on Friday, I was like, oh, let me just go ahead and head back.
We had friends evacuate to Orlando, and I teased him. I'm like, next time, just take your family right to the eye, buddy. Just take them right in there, be the Morris family storm chasers, and film it all.
There you go. Well, now, was this your daughter's first big hurricane?
Yes.
Now, what did she think of it?
She knew it was something was up, and she, you know, kept, you know, asking questions, but she's not, you know, my wife and I keep it pretty level head about it, so she wasn't freaking out or anything.
Did you let her go outside when it wasn't too bad?
Yeah, we went on a walk on, it would have been Wednesday afternoon, like before it started, or Wednesday morning, maybe it was Tuesday night. We went on a walk after we got everything situated with the house. And we had her dressed up in her, you know, rain gear and rain boots and everything.
Oh, nice.
Just to get a feel of the wind and all that it started to pick up.
Yeah, we did somewhat of a similar thing. Walker would come out when I would take the goats out back. And then he would come out to the garage because I'd leave the garage door open. Since it wasn't bad, there was no point to close the garage door and have the goat start freaking out. Which they were good.
No, the only issue would have been if you had loose stuff and the way the wind was coming in, it would just depend on that.
Oh, yeah. No, I had to make sure that everything was put away, especially building that goat pen.
Yeah.
I mean, they were still trying to grab stuff.
Yeah, they'll eat anything.
But again, it did give me a good amount of time to prepare for this the past weekend's games on betting, which I did absolutely horrible. I lost all my fantasy games, and I did horrible on betting from football, college football to NFL. Brian, how did you do this week?
So my best fantasy team that I drafted, I had Hockenson and Jamal Williams, so I did okay.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And with the Justin.
Hockenson got what, like 40 points?
Yeah, he had like 42 points.
Jamal and Williams had what, 38?
35, yeah, exactly. Something like that. Yeah, it's a half PPR league. And then Josh Allen had a very disappointing week and still scored like 24. He had probably what's going to be his worst week of the season and still scored 24 points, which is why I picked him in the third round. Because when you're looking at positional variance, right? He at number one is worth about 50 to 70 points more over the course of the season than the number two QB.
Similar.
It's very difficult to find that big of a variance between number one and two. Even with Kelce, you know, and what he does every year, typically Andrews or Kittle or whoever's the number two guy is going to be within, you know, 50 to 70 points of him. So that's one position where you could potentially find as big of a gap, but you rarely see it in quarterback. But it's been like that with Josh Allen going back to last year.
Well, I do want to hold on. I was going to ask you how you're doing, but I do want to get into what Brian said. Brett, how'd you do on yours?
Well, the only league that I really care about this year, I'm 1-3, and that's the Lummy Work League.
Oh, the Bub Army League?
Man league. Yeah.
Yeah, the Bub Army League.
Yeah, not doing great. I have Matt Stafford and Allen Robinson, who are probably two of the biggest busts at their respective positions so far this season. So we are trucking along. I mean, maybe the tides could turn, but I really have accepted the fact that I don't know what kind of moves I could make. Let me ask you this, Brian. Is this the week to drop Allen Robinson?
No.
Well, for what? That's the problem.
There's no one out there.
I've got Robert Woods and Darnell Mooney on my bench on the team that I'm 3-1 on, and what do I do? What am I replacing them with that I'm confident enough to put in the lineup every single week, and I might as well just hold them on my bench in case they do catch fire,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, because they could.
Because they actually have the ability to do so versus some of these other guys. You know, you pick up a guy like MVS, and it's a crapshoot. I will say my Romeo Doubs prediction is starting to come to fruition. It's looking like he is going to be the number one receiver for
still
the Green Bay Packers.
Still waiting on that Tony Pollard one to kick in.
Yeah, the Pollard one. it will kick in when Dak gets back.
I think his
value will go up. His value was always tied to Dak because he was like a safety valve for Dak in the passing game.
Pollard had a decent game.
No, he didn't. He had a terrible game this week, right?
This week he wasn't good, but
the
he's
week
been
before
okay.
He was good.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say, Brian, you're saying about Josh Allen. Now, in my big league that I play in, I was the number one pick. Unfortunately, even though I did make the Super Bowl of the fantasy. And I wanted to ask, what is going on? Because I pretty much had to take him. If I didn't, I'd regret it. Is Jonathan Taylor, JTT.
Yeah.
What's going on? You know,
he's a little dinged up, right? And the Indy offense has struggled a little bit to get its feet under it with Matt Ryan at the helm.
Does it look like they're trying to rely on Matt Ryan now, like the first couple games? It seems like they got away with what they were doing last year, where it was Jonathan Taylor and then Carson. They didn't want Carson Wentz to lose the game, which he typically did. But it was like to control the game, and I thought that's what they were going to do with Matt Ryan.
I think it's that Taylor's dinged up, quite honestly. You know, you look at his carries and everything, and it's not adding up to him being 100%.
Well, especially against Jacksonville, 9 carries from the week before where they tied the Texans. And I was happy with that game, 31 carries, 161 yards for a TD. And then you go against the Jaguars, they get shut out, 9 carries on a shutout. And then the Chiefs, he gets 21-71, and then last week 20-42.
Yeah, and this is where it really gets to, you know, and I think the philosophy on drafting in fantasy has to change. I mean, why wouldn't you go, especially if you have any sort of league that's heavy, why wouldn't you go with Travis Kelce first? Why wouldn't you go with Josh Allen first? Why wouldn't you go this season with Cooper Kupp first? Those are the best guys at their position.
Yeah, number one overall.
And hold on. Hold on. Look at games lost per season. First of all, Jonathan Taylor may not even play tomorrow. Okay? He is questionable for the game on Thursday night, number one. Look at games lost by position. And running back is like double any other offensive skill position. So your risk to avoid risk, if you're going to be risk adverse, which you almost have to be, you're picking number one.
Yep.
You have to pick a sure thing. I know that this guy week in, week out is going to score me 20 plus points. And you can't do that at the running back position when these guys are missing 2, 3, 4 weeks a season.
But
if you're lucky, look at Jamal Williams out for the year.
Well,
Cordarrelle Patterson, injured reserve. Eli Mitchell, injured reserve. There's no other position where these guys are dropping like flies like at the running back position.
Yeah, but we did all discuss it too when we were talking about fantasy a little bit. And you did kind of say, look, realistically, it is a no-brainer for a number one pick. You have to take Jonathan Taylor. I mean,
it is. You have to take him, but I'm saying like this and the McCaffrey picks in past years and Barkley in past years and all. This is adding up to do you really take the number one running back with the number one overall pick? And I think if you look at the last 5 years of fantasy, you're better off not, especially if you're in a PPR league, because the number one back like Taylor and Henry, they generally, these workhorse backs, aren't catching a ton of passes.
No, that's true. I mean, I just can't see, like, I really regret, like, I hate taking a running back number. I hate picking number one overall. But then, you know, going in with the Jonathan Taylor, like you're saying, running backs, it just seems like the last, what, 5, 6 years, There's it's not good to take a running back even that high, like even from Derrick Henry, who you thought would be like indestructible for as long as he was. Has he put back to back seasons together where he played all 16 games?
Well, I mean, he played I think his first 2 years or 3 years he played a bunch of games.
But did he play every game?
No, I don't think he has. And that's why, look, I took DeAndre Swift. I think I got him 15th or 16th overall. 16th, maybe it was. I was 7th in a 12-man league. So, yeah, it would have been 16th. I made sure to get Jamal Williams in, like, round 9 or whatever it was.
That's smart.
Because
Swift,
you have to if you're going to have a back like that, you got to handcuff. Like, if you're taking Taylor number one overall, I hope you took Hines at some point. Hines at some point.
Some fucking asshole drafted Hines way too early. He drafted, I think, in the 5th or 6th round. And he's like, well, you know, I have a feeling that Taylor's going down. So he drafted him.
Yeah, no, I have to ask you this, Rhett, because you said you were struggling a little bit. Is Rashad White available in your league at this point? Or was he should have been as a free?
Yeah. I actually just picked him up. I don't know if it was this league. I think it was the ESPN league, though. But he is available, and he did get me some points on Sunday night against Kansas City.
But even if you didn't play him against Kansas City, Lenny doesn't look right.
No, he does not.
Lenny does not. Three carries for -3 yards? I'm sorry.
Well, three carries for I totally get it. But you look at how quick Tampa Bay abandoned the run. I mean, they had no choice. You know what I mean? When you spot them a touchdown in 30 seconds, you're going to start to have to play from behind. And it's an offense that had to figure it out. Luckily, they figured it out. But they couldn't stop a nosebleed on defense. And I'm not saying that that has anything to do with Lenny. But, I mean, they abandoned the run. And they have clearly tried to establish it these first few weeks. And he probably hasn't been as dominant as he should be.
24 carries for 65 yards against the Saints.
Well, it's the Saints. I mean, I'm not saying that
Lenny has been one of the most disappointing running backs in all of fantasy sport. So one of the most disappointing players. I mean, you're talking about not total flop, but you weren't taking Allen Robinson. Where'd you pick Allen Robinson? Lenny was being taken in the 2nd round, right?
Yeah, he was.
So let's.
That sounds like a them problem because, I mean, from a fantasy perspective. Maybe it's just because I've watched the Bucs this week, but I knew coming into this year he wasn't going to be a viable fantasy pick.
Well, it's a scarcity issue, right?
Right.
At that position to find a workhorse back, he was getting a vast... I think what I saw from Rashad White in that game is that he does need to be getting more carries.
Well, he needs to be getting more targets.
They need to utilize their offensive weapons much better than they've done the first 4 weeks.
When everyone's healthy, it's a hell of a lot easier to do that. And, I mean, now that they have this four-game stretch out of the way, just in defense of the Bucs and what their schedule looks like, they can start to stack some wins these next 3 weeks. They've got Atlanta. And I will say
Atlanta looks a lot better than
I hope they can figure out.
Tampa Bay is missing Patterson. They will stop Atlanta. They can still run
all over. They can still run all over Tampa with that guy they got in there.
Yeah, but is Patterson definitely out?
No, Patterson's on IR for 4 weeks.
Yeah, he's missing at least four games.
Oh fuck! I got him in every one of my leagues. I didn't even fucking know that. God
damn it,
Brian!
I actually didn't even text
fuck
you
me.
When I saw that because I assumed you had
me?
Known. Yeah.
I didn't even read your fucking text. I probably was like six vodkas deep and like, fuck Rhett.
It was like a late announcement. Yeah, I think it was a Monday.
Shit.
So Lummy, you and I were at the Bucks game on Sunday and getting to see him live, and somebody Eat More Coleslaw said this in chat. Isaiah Pacheco runs
the number 10?
So hard and angry.
Yeah, that guy's crazy.
How that guy is not, they've got to find a way to get him more touches in that offense. I mean, CEH did okay. He did choke on that wide open pass on fourth down
that
gave the Bucks a chance, and then Brady gets blindsided. On that fumble, though, Brady took way too much time. Way too much time. 3 seconds, 3.5 seconds. That ball's got to be out. And he was standing there like he thought he had all day.
He looked out of sync, too. Pacheco, he looked like a little Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, he runs angry. He runs hard.
He runs angry. He's shifty.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, for like probably a couple minutes, I was like, man, when did they get Tyreek Hill in the backfield now?
So I was in the south end zone, and he had a carry. I think he got to the goal line. He may have even scored on it. No, he got really close. I think he got stopped at the 1 from like the 11. Where I was at the end zone, I could barely see him behind the offensive line. He is almost impossible. He runs so low and so hard. He is going to be a talent in this league.
You know who he reminds me of with the Steelers was Bell.
Yeah.
Remember how Bell would just follow his offensive line, but he'd be like down?
Yeah.
And it was always hard to see him, especially a lot of fakes. And you just, like, Bell would just come out of the line with a burst for like 20, 25 yards.
And he looks little because he's so fast, but he's 210, 215
pounds. He's 5'10",
too.
Yeah. He's stocky little dude.
He's not a little guy, but he's short. He's like he's the same height as Jonathan Taylor. He just weighs 10, 15 pounds less, but he is he's going to be an exciting player to watch develop in this league.
How heavy was Doug Martin when he played for the Bucs?
After
the pills? After the Molly?
The contract year when they signed him, he played well, balled out.
I'd say it's about 220, 225.
Yeah, I remember he ran not heavy, but he was just that short, stocky guy. Had no neck whatsoever, but he could really move in between the line when he
muscle
needed
hamster.
To. Yeah, had no top end speed. That was the worst part.
He was 223, I think.
I remember watching him break so many awesome runs that he just couldn't finish. He'd get to like the 25-yard line, start slowing down, and then eventually get caught. Bucks would be in the red zone, probably end up with a field goal.
Yeah, he didn't have that breakaway speed.
Yeah,
I mean that's probably from his drug use, but allegedly.
Man,
so, I'm sure Brian knows about it.
So before we get any deeper into football, can we just acknowledge Aaron Judge's accomplishment and discuss that a little bit in the season
how
that
fitting.
He's had?
How fitting that in the middle of a football conversation, you go ahead and break away.
Yeah, fucking ESPN over here.
Jesus
typical
Christ,
ESPN.
Man.
Fucking,
yeah,
you know, game-winning
yippee-o.
Field goal. Like a game, Tom Brady could be throwing for a record pass or some shit, you know, fourth quarter, 5 seconds left. Let's go to Aaron Judge and watch him get fucking walked. And I still think Aaron Judge is on something. I just don't believe there's any natural baseball players.
He's 6'8", dude. He's
I don't give two
fucking
shits if he's
massive. 6'8". He's massive.
That hides the steroids. I mean, look. I mean, look at A-Rod when he was 17, 18, you know. Everyone thought he was natural, too.
I will say this. I don't think, looking at the entirety of Major League Baseball, knowing the specialization now of the pitching position, knowing that there is nobody else producing offensively on the Yankees, I think Aaron Judge just had the single greatest offensive season we have ever witnessed in the history of baseball.
Yeah, he has a Brady Anderson type season.
I mean, it is so to be 20 home runs ahead of second place. First of all, it's the largest margin between first and second since Babe Ruth. Okay, this is a Ruthian type of season that he's had.
And I hate to be that guy because, you know, yay, great, Aaron Judge. But like, does it have any? I mean, you said he's what 20 home runs ahead of second place,
20 or 23? It's a stupid number.
Do you think he has at least 25 home runs inside Yankee Stadium this year? Like, am I just a bitch for bringing that up, or? think that has anything to do with
that,
it.
But if that's so easy, then where are all the home run
the
kings in Colorado? Where are the guys that the Yankees have had over the years mashing not 62 home runs? I get it a little bit. It's also the pressure of playing in New York City. There's something to that.
Sure.
mean, it is not the same as playing in Tampa. And so I think you can nitpick at that stuff, but at the end of the day, when you look at his stats, first, he almost won the Triple Crown. He almost won both Triple Crowns. You know, BA, OBS, slugging, and then batting average, home runs, RBI. He just missed it on the average. I think he's going to lose out by a few points there. But part of that is having no help around him in that lineup. His second half OPS was like 1370. The rest of the Yankees team, 657. It is insane. The Yankees probably are a wild card team sitting here today if Aaron Judge doesn't have the second half of the season that he has for them.
I mean, that second half of the season for the rest of the team.
Yeah, they would have faded.
Was not great. I don't know if they. I don't know.
It would have been close.
Now,
Toronto would have been playing a lot differently if they weren't, you know, 8 games back.
Because
Judge was keeping them in it. I applaud the Rays for tanking because I think the Cleveland Yankee path to an AL pennant is much better than the Toronto-Houston path. Yeah. We were never making it through that gauntlet.
No.
And so I think the Rays legitimately tanked at the end.
The Rays got the Yankees' number.
Yeah. And would you rather go and play Cleveland or Toronto right
Cleveland.
Now? 100%.
Toronto's on. They're heating up.
Toronto is coming into form.
Yeah.
Breaking news. Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver. Tampa Bay Buccaneers legend Cole Beasley has announced his retirement.
Well, I wish that you would have said Scotty Miller, but...
Oh, I guess what the fuck?
Hey, listen, he took a couple of big hits. Back to Aaron Judge with, unfortunately, thank you for your service here, Cole Beasley. Now get the fuck out. And by the way, pack up Scotty Miller and you two... I can't say the word. Get the kid out of here.
So, yeah, Aaron Judge is 23 home runs ahead of Mike Trout in the American League. He's 16 ahead of second place with Kyle Schwarber.
His stats are making me feel like he's having an Evan Longoria, but a way better Evan Longoria type career.
I mean,
comes in a good rookie year, starts the fade. We did a little bit better. Have a great year.
Well, I will say this is the difference, though.
He stayed healthy,
and he's done that the last two seasons for the most part. I think he missed 14 games last year. He's only going to miss 4 or 5 this year, depending on whether or not they play him. So I think that to me is the big thing for Judge and how he's outperformed his past performances is because he has been able to stay healthy.
Not that he found a little winstrel and decided it's his contract year and he wants to get paid like Robinson Cano.
Players are getting popped in the MLB, and it's not like they're protecting stars, Lummy.
You don't think they're going to protect an Aaron Judge in New York? Mm-hmm. Baseball is fading. Well, you know, Nate. I mean, when I think Rhett said it, when football starts, baseball goes away. Like no one cares about baseball anymore.
Yeah, maybe.
And now they have a home run chase in September for 61, 62. Look at ESPN is, you know, interrupting. Realistically, 61, 62, why? Because it's the Yankees record?
No, it's the American League record.
And
it's the we don't know for a fact that they were on steroids record.
Well, we
right?
still don't know that they're on steroids.
I said we know for a fact
McGuire,
Sosa, and Bonds were on it. We know that for a fact, okay? So this is the we don't know for a fact whether or not he was cheating record.
I mean, for like interrupt, you know, like are they trying to hide it because they think Aaron Judge is just so clean?
No, they have they are invested in baseball, and so they're protecting their product. They're doing what ESPN does with everything they do, which is to highlight their properties that they own. And Major League Baseball, especially New York Yankees, is one of their big ones.
I'm not going to believe that baseball players are clean anymore. I want to watch them piss in front of me. You know, almost
you're
a on
a sick
day,
man. A daily, I start calling you Bubba.
A daily basis, and I want to test it right then
whip
and there.
It out.
Hey, come on, don't lie to yourself. You just want to see that Latin whopper Aaron Judge is hauling around.
No, we don't know what he really is. I don't think he's Latino, but I mean, I want to see
them.
We
don't know what he really is. The 23andMe is still out on him.
He was adopted.
He's a fucking test tube baby. They built him in a lab.
I mean, if you were going to build a baseball slugger, 6'7", 282.
The like guy a fucking creative player on, you know, Slugfest back in the day.
He could have been a tight end in the NFL. He could have been a power forward in the NBA or one of the greatest power hitters in Major
what
League Baseball.
What is he, fucking LeBron now?
6'7", 282.
Yeah,
You don't think he has the athleticism to have, if he had chosen a different sport, played that sport? The guy steals bases. It's not like he's slow.
So did Jose Canseco.
He's got 16 swipes on the season, only caught stealing three times.
Wow, let's see, once again, 9-6-3-0-6-16. Jose Canseco was stealing bases too, so was Barry Bonds, a 40-40 guy, you know? Wasn't Jose Canseco the first 40-40 guy?
But they were cheating.
Oh,
He didn't go out and steal 40 bases.
Allegedly.
We
don't know for sure.
Hold on. Jose Canseco didn't steal?
We know for certain on both of them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not afraid of a lawsuit coming down from Barry Bonds on this one.
I mean, look, Pete Rose said if he was on steroids, he would have had 5,000.
Oh, Pete Rose is hits. Full of hot air. If Pete Rose was facing specialized pitching the way these guys do now, okay, the game would have changed him. Nobody hits for average anymore. That just doesn't happen because those guys don't get the 20. Pete Rose would be all about the contract he's going to get, and so he would still be trying to hit for power in this day and age of baseball.
What? No way. Pete Rose would be like the Tony Gwynn. I can't believe you're
Tony Gwynn wouldn't even get a. He wouldn't even be an all-star in today's baseball.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yes.
You're saying Tony Gwynn, who has probably one of the best eyes in baseball, would not even be getting hits right now.
Okay, back when Tony Gwynn was hitting 300 and doing great, right?
Yeah.
Every single season, he would face one, maybe two pitchers a season that would get a ball over 96 across the plate to him, okay? Every single major league starter now is there.
Yeah, but it's
every
not about the fastball. It's not always about the fastball.
Look.
He's facing Randy Johnson.
Not every night. Twice a season. Look, these guys are
Billy
out
Wagner.
There. These guys are out there throwing hard heat.
Yeah, but they're catching up to it now. It's not the speed, you know, when people say.
Tony Gwynn, you think Tony Gwynn's catch it? You think with that gut, you show me another fat player. Show me another fat ass in baseball who's done well in the last decade.
Oh, fat
consistently,
ass?
Yeah, they don't exist anymore, buddy.
G-Man Choi.
They don't exist.
Bartolo Colon.
They don't exist. The game passed players like that by. Okay, this is about athleticism now. It's about launch angle, exit velocity. This is a scientific game. It sucks. I think baseball was more fun in the 80s and 90s. But
do you have any seasons? Do you have any seasons Tony Gwynn hit under 300?
One would be my guess. He probably hit 297 like his last season.
No, actually, it was his rookie year, which I don't even count because it's 54 games. He had 289. So realistically, he hit over 300 for his career. And you don't think that motherfucker would get a hit?
No, I'm not saying he wouldn't get hits. I'm saying he wouldn't be the hitter that he was back then. You know, when you break into the league in 1982. And you're facing, you know, guys that wouldn't even sniff double A these days in the rotations.
Those pitchers, I don't know. Listen.
The pitchers from the 80s were trash, dude. You had like 10 good pitchers that decade.
Yeah, but you could argue with every decade at that point because, you look at they don't treat pitchers the same way. I mean, now you only got to pitch 2, 3, 4, 5 innings when back in the 80s and 90s they were having to pitch 8, 9 innings.
No, I get it. I get it. But that's what makes hitting so much harder now. That's why there's 4 or 5 guys in the entire league hitting 300 in a season.
Well, that's because they are also for power, and they don't know how to fucking hit opposite field. You got to admit that. I mean, come on. You put a shift, you're a Major League Baseball player.
Well, it's because the numbers tell them not to. That's why. If the numbers said hit opposite field, the wins are they're calculating this based over a long season, and the computers are telling them that this is the way that they'll win baseball games. I think it'll change next year with the shift changing.
Yeah, I thought they were doing it this year. Or did they just do it in spring training? Did they just try it out in spring training?
No. Starting next year, you have to have a player. You have to have 2 players on either side of second base.
Yeah, no, I remember. We talked about it, but I thought they were. I know they did it in spring training, but I thought they were going to do it for this season. So they just they put it out for next season.
But you're going to see averages shoot up. I mean, not like to what they used to be, but when you can't shift a guy who can hit the ball 110 miles an hour into the infield, you're not catching that ball if you're not shifted.
No, I agree. I remember when the Rays would always shift on like David Ortiz and all those big power hitters, and you know we had our guy perfectly placed between second and first. And it definitely was going to be an easy single. I mean, right. He roped it right between, and right. Then they threw him out. I mean, I totally agree with that. I don't really agree with the whole banning of the shift. It's like banning in football. What if someone wanted to come out and do, you know, like a 1-1-9-1 defense?
It's not happening.
But what if they shifted it up? And you know what I mean? The gimmick, it's just like football with the Wildcat offense. They figured it out. I don't understand how the offense, the batters in the MLB have not been able to figure it out. Because remember, the Wildcat was going to take over the whole NFL. They were going to do all this other shit. And then how long did the Wildcat really last for? That it started taking over for a half a year?
Look, I think that they shouldn't change the rules, that the players should adjust. I'm with you on that. But I would be interested to see what, let's say, some of the players that they shift hard against. I mean, they shift Judge, right?
Yeah, they do.
I would like to see what his batting average would be. And I'm sure they can look at the hits and the position of the players determine and factor out what his batting average would have been this season if there were no shifts on him. And I guarantee you're going to see some crazy numbers. Now, part of that is, you know, learn to hit opposite field. I get that. But Major League Baseball also knows that the future is, you know, Their future is staked to offense. Nobody wants to see a 1-0 game.
No, and I see that. I see baseball is seeing what the NFL is doing. And I know that, you know, some of the MLB or the NFL scores have been down in the last couple of weeks. But then you got the Lions game with the Seahawks, you know, just putting up. And that's what people want to see. People want to see scoring. They don't want to see a good game. They don't want to see a perfect game or a shutout. You know, so I get that, and I think the MLB is copying because I think they're desperate. I think the MLB is desperate. They don't want to stick to the old school mentality anymore. But I really think that it would be just a better natural game, and I think more people would. I think I don't think that many people would drop off if it was always a 2-1 or 3-1. Or do you think not? I see you and Kenny F. and Powers are having a little fight. He's been asking for months to see if you could throw a ball.
Oh, I know he is. And I guarantee you he is a fat slob sitting at home right now. He's got a lot of free time on his hands, too. And
he's
and
Kenny Powers.
Taking pot shots at me.
Dude,
like a keyboard
Kenny
warrior.
It's Kenny Powers. But, I mean, yeah. You can throw a baseball, right?
I mean, I can throw one. I can catch one. Do I throw it? Am I a raw, pure athlete? Look at me, okay? But
you said you were good at basketball.
I mean, I'm mediocre at everything I do in sports.
No, I don't believe it. I think you're really good at golf. I've never seen you play, but I just have a feeling looking at you that you're good at golf.
I've got some crazy club head speed, but I'm not great at it. I don't play it enough. See, golf's tough, though.
Golf, you have to play all the time.
Yeah. Baseball, you could put down a bat and glove and not play for 2 years and then get out there and after about a week be right back to where you were. Golf, you don't play twice, three times a week, you're not getting good.
Yeah.
What do you bowl?
My bowling average is like a 135, 140.
Looks like, I mean, that's good, okay, for you. Probably don't. I mean, and he probably doesn't bowl that much.
Truthfully, for someone that doesn't bowl that much, that's above average.
I own a ball because my wife's into bowling. Yeah, my wife's like
good.
A 190,
yeah,
195.
Good, yeah.
She's awesome.
I love bowling. I need to do it more.
But yeah, anymore. No, I understand. Like, you know, Brian, I could get out there, and I'm not saying I'm an out, but I could get out there and hit and, you know, throw. And
I mean,
it
I could
takes me a week.
Yeah,
but that's golf is totally
golf is
different.
Totally different animals.
And
so,
same with football too.
Like I can break, if I have a really good golf round, I can break 90, barely. But for the most part, I'm in that 90 to 95 range.
But see, that's good, Brian. If you think about it, for probably as much as you play,
yeah, which is
being
like,
under 100.
I get out there once every 3 months if I'm lucky.
I'm hoping at this golf tournament, the golf league I do every actually in 2 weeks. I haven't golfed in 9 months, and then before that it was 9 months.
Are you doing that Spark Golf thing?
No, I've been doing it for 8 years now. They've been doing it for like 20 something years. We go to Sebring for 3 days, play four rounds of golf. And then Sunday,
I'll tell you, if you don't golf a lot and you're playing four rounds over 2 or 3 days, that will beat the shit out of you.
Well, that's what I've done that for 8 years, except for last year because of Walker. But I mean, I go out there, and when I was golfing a lot, I was about 100, maybe, you know, I think my best game of there was like a 96, but then you just fall off, and now I'm, you know, 120, 115, but it's about having fun, but it does get frustrating. As fuck.
Yeah.
But you know Sebring courses too. It's just a fun time. You've been out to Sebring, right?
No.
Oh, you go to Orlando.
Well, more so that way. Yeah. I just tried Stream Song for the first time a couple months ago.
Did you have your caddy?
We had a caddy. So the first round got pretty much rained out. They let us on for free at like 5 o'clock, and we got 7 or 8 holes in on the red course. And then we played blue with a caddy. And
blue is tough,
man. On that first, did you play blue?
Yes.
So second hole on blue, that par five that has the bunker and dog legs a little bit to the right. Do you remember that one?
Sorry, I was trying to pull it up, but we can't even show it anyhow because I was going to show people that don't know, because Stream Song is probably one of the nicest courses in Florida.
Oh yeah.
It was built in what's that?
An old quarry.
Quarry, who's a mass?
It's Mosaic.
Mosaic, yeah.
Yeah, Mosaic. It's the old Mosaic quarry. It looks like you're in another, but you definitely don't feel like you're in Florida.
You do not
there.
Feel like you're in Florida. You feel like you're in like the Midwest almost.
But you are stuck there. You are captive. There is nothing around there for at least a half hour.
And you got this freaking caddy with you.
Yeah, you have to pay a caddy. Yeah. And when
you suck really bad.
Everything there is expensive. I had a good caddy though, and he was nice. He rode with me. He one of my buddies that went with us is one of the slowest golfers in the world.
Oh, they built a third course. See, when I went there, it was a while ago, and there was only the red and the blue.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they talked about building the third.
And they're actually building a par three, like a 9-hole par three course too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is cool because when you go there now, you can do one of those other courses in the afternoon. Like say you get a noon tee time, finish up at 4, grab something to eat, and then do a little nine holer, you know, to end the day.
That would be sweet because they got a lot of land out there.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, that's all they have out there.
But what were you saying about the dog? That was 5, right?
No, hole number 2.
Okay. There it is. Yeah.
So there's a bunker that cuts across the fairway.
Yeah, I see it.
I flew it off the tee over the bunker.
Really?
Yeah. The caddy estimated that I flew the ball, and this is rare for me. I do have the club head speed to do it, but to get the trajectory right for me. But he said my carry was about 300.
Ooh, is that your best drive?
Since my mid-20s, yeah. I used to regularly hit it between 280 and 320.
And you were a little chubbier back then, right?
That was actually when I had lost the weight and was working out more.
Oh, okay.
I was in the best shape of my life, like 25 to 32. And I could, man, especially at the end of my first marriage when I was golfing a lot, I could really poke the ball, really poke it. I mean, I get past what would you call it there? The horizon. I could actually see the club head in my backswing.
Really?
Yeah. I'm flexible up top.
Damn.
Yeah.
Brett, have you ever played golf?
Nope.
Do you have any interest in playing golf?
I don't know, man. I mean, I've had a few evenings at Topgolf for, you know, 3-4 hours at most. But
I like Topgolf.
You don't like Topgolf?
No.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I mean, it's fun. It's like a bowling alley and darts, you know? It's just right. A fun...
I think the novelty of it wears off after a little while.
I get frustrated because I don't bring my clubs, and then I play with their clubs, and they're like 3 inches short, so then I'm bending down.
Well,
I'm
do look like a tool, though, going in there with you. But don't bring
That's your... why I don't want to go. That's why I don't want to. I don't like that.
Listen to me. Just bring 3 clubs in with you. Just carry. Don't bring your bag in. Just bring in 3 clubs.
I've seen guys bring their bags in, though.
Yes. Don't do that. Just bring in 3 clubs. That's it. That's all you need. Just bring in a driver, a mid-iron, and a wedge.
Did they let you use your driver? Because I know they started talking about not letting you bring your custom driver because people were driving it over the
nets.
Oh, you
can easily get it. I've hit it over the nets a couple times.
Take out a window on the highway.
Yeah.
Oh, well, people were hitting them on 75.
Yeah.
But those balls don't fly as far. They're decompressed, and they have the RFID chips in them, so they do not fly as far. So whatever you're hitting out there, you could probably add 10 to 20% in terms of distance if it was a real compression golf ball.
Are they just heavier?
They are they just don't have the same compression. I don't know. It's not.
Just doesn't fly through the air.
Yeah, it just doesn't cut through the same way.
I get you. Hey, so how about this fucking snooze fest coming up on Thursday Night Football? Worst game of the year so far?
What? You don't like this game?
Indy and Denver?
I think it's going to be a good game.
I think it's a compelling game.
I hope somebody figures it out on offense, but if they don't, I feel like it's just going to be a defensive, boring game to watch.
No, I think Russell Wilson might figure it out. I think they started turning it on last week. And I think Indy, well, is Jonathan Taylor, is he Jonathan Taylor Thomas playing?
He is questionable. He's most likely going to go, but I mean.
Why risk it?
I know why you risk it in this game, because you don't want to take another L.
No shit.
What does Denver's defense look like so far this year?
Pretty decent. Yeah. I mean, Denver's defense and their kicker are arguably the only reason that they're, what are they,
2-1, 2-2 at home.
Colts are 1-3, yet to have a win in the AFC.
No, whoa.
Tap the brakes.
Yeah, it's 1-2-1, big guy. There's a tie. Uh-huh. Don't forget the Texans also with that tie.
You're right. Still winless in the AFC, unfortunately.
They got that tie in their belt. Lovie Smith, he'll be taking that one. It's a 3.5-point spread right now, I guess.
I can see it.
Actually, no. It looks like it's a 3-point spread.
Yeah, it's 3, and I'm taking Denver laying 3.
Yeah, I'll take Denver, too.
Is that your pick?
Yeah.
That was one of my 3 picks. I got Denver -3, Bucks -8.5, and Detroit +3.
Well, Rhett, write it down on yours, too, so we can just go over it. But so, yeah, both of you guys have Denver. I think the Colts are going to win, but I'm not picking them.
Well, not enough. Then you don't actually think that. Just feel it.
Of course, you got to feel it, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it just depends on what Russell Wilson comes to play. Well, they have too many weapons around him. I mean, I guess they're running backs, Melvin Gordon.
They don't,
the third.
Though. I mean, they don't have too many weapons around him. That's the problem. Him and Judy have not shown an ability to match up. The only wide receiver he seems to have any sort of continuity with is Cortland Sutton. You know, tight end position, they're really missing Noah Fant there. I'm not seeing a Super Bowl contender in Denver right now.
Not this year. They have to get rid of Melvin Gordon. Did you watch that game? Him and his fumbles?
He has 4 fumbles through 4 weeks. And most players go an entire season without that.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. It's why I think, what's his name, Mike Boone or whatever is available. And also why the Denver Broncos, you want to look at a flyer in fantasy, Latavius Murray, who had a decent game for New Orleans last week, got signed off their practice squad and is now a Denver Bronco.
He's always kind of been one of the more productive running backs in the league.
Second tier running backs.
Normally, when he was with New Orleans, you know, there'd be a couple of games where Kamara just wouldn't really be himself and he'd really pick up the slack.
Wasn't he with Baltimore?
I think
I remember the little purple, like fucking like, sucking him off, that he was great.
Couple of years ago.
Yeah, no, I think it was like 2 years ago. He was like one of their 18 running backs.
Yeah, that was when the fault of the Baltimore not playing well is because their whole entire team was injured.
Was it after Mark Ingram?
Mark Ingram might have been on the team then, too.
No, he was with the Saints by that point. I think Murray took Ingram's spot as that guy there. But, I mean, you can say what you want about Melvin Gordon. He's been disappointing, and the fumbles are a real problem. But, you know, Javonte Williams wasn't exactly lighting it up for them. Russell Wilson hasn't exactly been lighting it up. Their longest rush on the year is a 19-yard carry by a wide receiver. Their second was Javonte Williams breaking a 17-yarder. I don't need to look at the other teams in the NFL stats to know that that's got to be the worst, that they're the only team that doesn't have a 20-yard rush on the season. That's problematic. I mean, because now defenses don't have to respect your running game.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much what happened to the Bucs last week.
Yeah.
The Chiefs didn't fucking... I mean,
Chiefs didn't have to respect anything because they had such a big lead.
Well, and also... Yeah, I want to come back to that because I want to talk real quick about college football.
Let's get your picks in, Lummy. I gave mine. Denver -3, Bucks -8.5, Detroit +3.
I got the Giants +8. I got Detroit +3. I think Detroit with New England.
I think they win that game outright.
I do too.
I'm
gonna probably take the money line. I mean, I know Detroit gives up 48 points, you know, almost.
But not
average.
To that team. Not to the Patriots.
That's what I'm saying. I think they're gonna hold New England
to 28. Yeah.
And then score 35 to 42, right, coach over there?
Yeah, I was
You're off.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, thanks for that. I finally come to you. I finally come to you for your fucking thing.
Wow.
Well, I already had something in mind because I was also picking the Lions this week.
And I got Houston plus 7. I know Jacksonville looks really, really good. I just see Houston being able to cover that 7
Davis
points.
Mills has just looked disappointing, and Jacksonville's defense has been opportunistic.
Yeah, they have. They have. I just feel that Houston is still fighting in these games, and I like that. I like that 7 points. I think Jacksonville. I think they're going to keep it close. I know Jacksonville is playing well, but I think they. I mean,
Jacksonville's not a team that you look at and you're like, oh, they're going to go out and win by 2 scores.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's nobody in the league that you put them up against and you feel confident betting them more than a touchdown.
Exactly.
So it's right at that number against the only team that you would feel comfortable betting Jacksonville plus, I mean, minus 7.
And I may
tease betting
it
against them.
Yeah, I mean, if it doesn't move, I may tease it and go 7.5. Like, tease it up to 7.5.
Yeah,
just to get that, to get that little point, half a point. Brad, who do you got?
I got the Chargers over Cleveland. They were favored by 3, so I think they'll cover. I was picking Detroit over New England, and I think, let me look. I didn't have it in front of me. I did. Shit, I think I lost it.
And I you know, another game I was really looking at hard, but with Tua being out, even though I don't like and I believe in Teddy Two Gloves, I'll probably put some bets on the Jets and the Dolphins.
Yeah, I was looking at that
A 3-point spread. I mean, Miami, even with Teddy Two Gloves, I feel can still beat the Jets.
Oh no, I think they have a better chance, you know, knowing that he's their quarterback and game planning for that. But so does the Jets defense in adjusting to that. It will be interesting to see with Zach Wilson back. Miami's defense has been, you know, has gone up against some formidable offenses to this point of the season, other than week one, but they were impressive in week one against the Patriots, and people forget that. But then you go up against Ravens, Bills, and Bengals. It's not like you're facing Sisters of the Poor there offensively. Those are probably 3 of the 4 or 5 best offenses in the AFC. So I think Miami's going to, you know, I just don't know on the road against the Jets team that has some mojo going for them. They're not a good team. It was just tough for me to jump on that one. But that was one I was staring at for a long time.
Yeah,
I think Miami will win that game outright, but it's also divisional road game. I tend to stay away from those. That's one of my survivor pool rules is divisional road teams. I do not ever take in survivor pools. And so for that reason, I was out on Miami.
But did you find your third pick yet?
It was Denver over Indy.
Yeah, he had already given that one.
Oh.
So we got some overlap
this week. I was just
looking
for the line of Detroit and New England because I knew New England is favored.
It's Detroit plus 3. I picked it.
Yeah, me too. Well, it looks like we're almost all on the same page. Now, Buffalo giving up 14. Actually, before I get too much into that, I want to talk about college football because it was funny. Brian brought up the Jimbo Fisher, Texas A&M, and I went on ESPN, and the front page was the state of Texas A&M.
And I, hand to God, I had not looked. That was I had no idea that topic was going to come up on the show. I just know that what they're paying him and what they expect from him, that he better start delivering. I think a 6-6, maybe even a 7-5 type season, he's gone. He's gone. They are not going to sit around and wait. They have enough money with their boosters and the NIL that they don't need to worry and lean on Jimbo Fisher's recruiting to be successful at Texas A&M. They need a coach who can score fucking points. And he has not shown an ability to do that consistently when he has not had Jameis Winston as his starting quarterback.
I don't see them losing that many games, though. I mean, yeah, I know against Alabama, they're all picking them to just get their, you know, asses kicked. I think they still are probably going to go an 8-4.
8-4, he probably keeps his job.
Exactly. So
7-5, I think it becomes
hot seat.
Hot seat, and it could go either way. 6-6, and he's done. But 6-6, and he's done.
But realistically, at Texas A&M, with what they're doing, I know you said they don't really need that recruiting, but I don't see them not wanting to get a sexy quarterback. I mean, sexy coach.
Yeah,
I can't see them
will come into it, but
and I don't see. I mean, unless they just throw so much money at Deion, I just don't see him going there. If they do fire Jimbo, and I don't see outside of Jimbo who like a coach like that would be.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it could.
I don't think they're going to hire an up and comer. You know, like a guy that maybe you know, is at a smaller school.
But they
school.
Can throw more money than God to, I mean, okay, Luke Fickell. Why not? Everybody thought since he was going to be trash this year, their only loss was a close one to Arkansas so far, right?
Yeah.
He clearly can coach that guy. He clearly can recruit. He's built himself a team there in Cincinnati. I don't think that it's not a sexy hire, but they could lure a guy like him away. The resources, you give a guy like Luke Fickell the resources that they have at Texas A&M, and just imagine what he could do there. Now, culturally, I don't know how he fits in there, but...
Yeah, he's more of an Ohio guy, isn't he?
He's very Midwest, but A&M is recruiting nationally now anyways.
Yeah, but...
So does it really matter?
I mean, Jimbo's got that, like, Texas... And I don't really like Jimbo, but he's got that little swagger.
He's got that Southern swag, but Luke Fickell's got that... He looks intimidating on a sideline. You look at Luke Fickell, and you're like, wow, that guy looks like he's ready to pop me in the mouth.
He was what, a defensive lineman or a linebacker for Ohio State?
Yeah, I'm just saying, I like a coach like him. I don't think you're not going out on a limb. I mean, he's got the pedigree. He was an Ohio State, coordinator, and then became the head coach at Cincinnati and has done amazing things with them. And now he's ready for that next step. And I think Texas A&M would be fine moving on from Jimbo, who has, well, let's face it, Jimbo's had, what, two good seasons in his career?
Yeah,
well, I mean, okay, the COVID year they did go 9-1.
Yeah,
they still
four.
Finished second in their division. In their division, so they lost the one that mattered that year.
I mean, you could say because Jimbo made back to back. Well, he made the national championship and then he made the playoffs the following year
with Jameis Winston.
With Jameis Winston,
okay. Well,
it's kind of the Charlie Strong thing. Charlie Strong never had a good season, a great season without. Without what? Bridgewater, right?
32 gloves. No, you're right. But you look at Jimbo, I mean, then you're going to say what?
What was it, Jackson, that he had?
No, it was 32 gloves.
It was 32 gloves?
Yeah. Jackson might have been there with Strong, but it was 32 gloves in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because that was his whole four-year recruit where Louisville rose, because he got most of his guys, like half the team was from Florida. You look at his coaching record. 10-4, 9-4, 12-2, 14-0, 13-1.
Yeah, in the ACC, which is drastically different than playing in the SEC West, which might as well be, I mean, it is far and away the hardest. Like every game they play in division in the SEC West, with the exception of maybe one game a year, although this year Ole Miss and Mississippi State are both doing great, so it's hard to say that those are cakewalks. You know, Arkansas maybe 3-2, but they're a decent team.
No, Arkansas's a good team. I like their coach, too.
I'm saying, who's the weak link in that SEC West? It may very well end up being LSU. Auburn, probably. I guess you would say Auburn.
Yeah, I would say Auburn.
Right now.
And then LSU.
But, well, I was just checking out the line for the Auburn game this week against Georgia, and I know Georgia's been an absolute powerhouse, and nothing has stopped them so far, but holy shit, opening up at 30 points?
Yeah, 29.5. Especially after the game Georgia had against Missouri, where they barely eked it out.
We'll just scroll down that paper, right, and you'll see Texas A&M and Auburn or Alabama at 23.5.
I mean, that's a little more believable, though, because I can just... Well, that I can't see Georgia running away with a game like that, but you talk about those SEC games and how they can be close.
Well, that's what that is, Texas A&M and Alabama. And Texas A&M came in, what, ranked number 6? Were they number 6 to start the year? I know preseason.
Oh, yeah, they were up pretty high. Yeah, they were up there pretty high. I mean, look, you know, Auburn lost by 29 to Penn State at home.
I hate when SEC schools lose to the Big Ten. I cannot stand Big Ten football.
They almost lost to Missouri, right? You brought that game up.
Georgia almost lost to Missouri, but so did Auburn. But yeah. I think 29.5 is a very large number for a conference game,
yes.
Even with Auburn going on the road. But I could easily see Georgia winning that one like 42-10. I mean, it could happen. Auburn's offense is not very good.
Yeah.
They scored 24 points against San Jose State, 12 against Penn State, 17 against Missouri, and 17 against LSU. Georgia's defense is a step above all of those teams.
Brian, do you have your college picks?
Yeah, I do. I like tonight's game. I like SMU +3.5 against UCF.
Nice.
I like Louisville laying 2.5 versus Virginia. And I like USF getting 28 against Cincy. I just think that after, you know, the performances that they've had, had a game off, game on, game off, game on. They're gonna come out and play much better than they did against ECU.
Yeah, fuck that game too. Going down to Boca Raton.
Yeah, that was stupid. That was stupid.
Because we were talking about even going to the game, and then I got a text message from Daniel Rose who's like, "You want to stay at my house to watch the game?" I'm like, "What are you talking about? It's here." And I found out, and then just watching them, it's so embarrassing. It just looks like Division III football with them. Like, they just don't look balanced. I can't bet on them anymore. I was betting on them. I think I bet on them every game since I graduated. I just can't bet on them anymore.
It's just unfortunate that they cannot be a consistent team in the slightest. I mean, like, it probably speaks more to how the Gators are this year, and you've got to accept that it's Napier's first year, you know, but they played up to Florida, and they should have won that game.
But at least,
you know what
Florida
I'm saying?
Looks like a real football team, and you see promise out of it. I mean, AR-15, you know, I think
he's
got to
reel
too
it
early.
In, dude. He's a little fucking crybaby.
Yeah, I think he's quitting on the team too early.
It makes me so mad.
I got Tennessee. I like Tennessee over LSU, even though it's at LSU. It's a 3.5-point spread. I like the way Tennessee's been playing.
I'm surprised. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you can go.
I was going to say, I'm surprised to see Miami favored over North Carolina.
I got
Miami.
Yeah.
Miami fucking sucks.
No, man. North Carolina.
North Carolina's pretty awful.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. They don't have a defense.
Pretty trash. And Miami's not that bad.
No, they're not. They kind of play down to their competition, too.
That's part of their problem.
And they're getting a new.
They got a new coach. Yeah. They're trying to figure stuff out.
I got Miami over North Carolina. It's at Miami, even though no one shows up to the game, according to their quarterback. I've watched North Carolina a couple games. They don't have a defense.
Proof is in the pudding. Remember when they got blown out on Walker's birthday and there was a huge crowd of like 85 people?
Oh, Middle Tennessee State?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty embarrassing. You almost make me rethink my pick, but I'm just going to stick with that.
Listen, so you can see where I'm coming from. All right.
Oh, I thought you were going to go more into it. I thought you were going to break down that game with Middle Tennessee State. And I like Illinois. I like Illinois over Iowa. Iowa can't score more than 10 points, and I feel, what's his name, from the old Wisconsin coach. I think he goes in there with Illinois. I think he's turning Illinois around, and I think he beats Iowa at 3.5.
The other one that I liked, but I wasn't, it's just a big number, was Michigan, I think, laying 21.5 against Indiana.
Really?
I think it's 21.5. It may be more now, but that one was intriguing to me just because I know Michigan is much, much better than Indiana. Much better than Indiana.
Oh, so you're giving 21. I feel like Michigan plays down. See, once again, I can't.
That's the problem, right? And that's the problem I have with Big Ten and betting on the Big Ten is it's so hard to do that because one week these teams come out and they look like world beaters, and then the next week, you know, Michigan barely beats Maryland by 7.
Well, then you got all the Big Ten backers that are like, oh, well, it's because there's so much history with the teams and they
history
play each other.
Doesn't strap up and play football.
No, with the transfer portal, if they transfer 1 year in, they don't give two shits, you know, if the overall record is 192 and 186, you know? They don't give a shit. They just want to win.
I see Michigan beating Indiana by 27, and I think the line's 21.5. So I would bet Michigan on that one as my bonus pick.
Well, I kind of like it.
Maryland's not a terrible team. I mean, Michigan's the only team that beat them this season. And I think they've beat Michigan State. They beat SMU. So those are two solid teams, Buffalo and Charlotte. You know, I don't think those wins matter. But
what do you mean, Buffalo and Charlotte, they're powerhouses.
Buffalo, yeah, they're having a good season so far for them by their standards. They're 2-3.
Yeah.
They lost to Holy Cross and Coastal Carolina.
Holy Cross?
Yeah, they did. they did. Yep. And then Charlotte, you know, the 49ers, they're struggling. They're struggling. So Maryland's victory over them, not that impressive.
Oh, did you see the big school in Florida here that lost to, what's that, SFA? What's that?
Stephen F. Austin?
Yeah, did you see what the score of that game was? I think it was 2 weeks ago. Warner University.
Oh gosh, that game was like 100-0, right?
I think it was 96. No. 98.
Yeah, it was one of the biggest beatdowns ever.
98-0.
And they rolled out, so get this.
They brought the cheerleaders out to play them?
No, they were up 98-0. And they had just scored a touchdown and they brought they brought the team out, the offense out onto the field. They were not going to kick the extra point, but they just took a knee. So rather than making it 99, they left it at 98 and they took a knee. And then I think they just gave up on the game at that point. Like the coach like made a point not to score 100 on them, because then that does, even though 98 to nothing is a beatdown, 100 to nothing gets everybody in the world's attention.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah.
Their last two
the
games.
The fans booed, by the way, when they brought the
oh,
offense
they
out.
They wanted 100
if you're gonna
to
do
nothing.
It, if you're going to do it big. One of the first high school games I ever went to back in the day was Armwood and Strawberry Crest. And Armwood won by 128 points. Like, I remember the scoreboard just was not working by the end of the night. It was 128-3. It was absolutely pathetic. But, I mean, they made no effort to slow up or stop it or let the clock run. I mean, this was the running clock rule in Hillsborough anyways, because they've got a mercy rule. But it was pretty funny.
Well, they I just went on their website. They have canceled the last two games.
Why? Because they fucking suck?
They have not announced and they have not posted since they canceled their games. But, yeah, 98 to nothing. Now, Brian, Brett,
they just
I know
they said that was the last game in school history. They don't need a football
game. I mean, 98 nothing. I don't blame. Well, no, I think they – nope, they haven't played since then. But,
well, how were they doing prior to that?
0-4. Kaiser, Kaiser University lost 44-7.
Oof.
Which they played that game at Lakeland Christian School.
Isn't Kaiser like
that's
an online school?
Yes.
Kaiser is a fucking football team.
They play at a Lakeland Christian school, so they play at a high school.
Okay.
Is it like a bunch of 30-year-old dudes?
I have no... Wait.
Just a bunch of tech guys?
Okay, so they lost that one, but they scored a touchdown.
Yeah, University of West Florida is a legit school. They won the, I think it was the Division II National Championship a couple years ago. They lost 52-3.
That's okay.
Florida Memorial University.
Hmm.
44-22.
49-22.
What did I say? 42. Yeah, sorry. I
you said 44.
44. Whatever. I'm too busy laughing at these names of these schools.
Yeah.
Stephen Austin 98-0. Then they canceled against Weber International.
Well, that was for probably the hurricane.
Yeah. But I don't think there's a hurricane coming in this weekend. They
canceled. That Florida Memorial was supposed to be in Lake Wales as well, so the field may be flooded out.
Suspect that they can't move the game to.
Well, no, do you think they have money to move the game anywhere? They can't rent out another high school. No way,
the
dude.
The local park. How many people are really going to those games?
You owe it to your fans to put on a show in front of them where their seats are. I'm sure they're going into the luxury boxes at halftime and having cocktails and living it up at these Warner football games.
Hold on.
I just took a few minutes.
Kaiser University, they played in Lakeland Christian, so they're playing Kaiser University on the 15th in West Palm.
Yeah, that's a road game.
So they play at Lakeland Christian? Oh. Brian, do you want to go? You guys want to go on a show? Oh, October 22nd, 7 o'clock, Lake Wales. That's right down the street from Sebring. If you guys want to come over, we'll go after I golf. My two games of golf on Saturday.
That's the last thing you're going to want to do. You're going to be, first of all, you're going to be so drunk. Yeah. You'll get arrested at that game.
Wait, the University of Fort Lauderdale versus. Oh, I'd be sitting there. Hey, nothing. You guys suck.
How is Warsaw doing? Because Bubba was talking a lot of shit one day on our sports show when he came in to take it over, right?
Oh, yeah, that they're the best.
That they're the best team. How are they faring?
Well, he is going to a game. He hasn't talked about it because usually when they're undefeated, he.
Yeah.
I'm hoping he's in work mode this weekend and I get a lot of good video. Or he'll just go live.
Let's see. Why do you want to watch the Warsaw game? So they play the Goshen. So
no, I just want to know if I have to be busy.
Wow.
At the ready.
Ooh, two L's on there.
Against Northwood. So they started 70-0 against Plymouth High School. 19-0. Northwood High School.
That is, first of all, that is the weirdest way to post
yes, I know.
Results I've ever
I'm
seen
looking,
in my life.
Brian, I just was about to say, man, they haven't played against us the second.
I mean, this is probably like...
They did it backwards.
Yeah. That's the way they do things in
is
Warsaw.
Is this the official school site, or is this like...
This is the Warsaw-Tigers.com.
This is probably a WordPress website that they don't know how to use.
You mean with the scroller down here? I remember when I was in high school, we used these.
Yeah.
When I went on Angel Fire. Oh, they lost to the Mishawaka.
So they either give up 0 points or they lose. They give up zero or 42 and a half. That's their sweet spot.
Yeah, you just nailed it.
So Goshen is going to
know what kind of game it'll be early.
Goshen's going to put 42 up on them.
I mean, I wonder if you know what Goshen's all about.
They're not going to keep Goshen scoreless. Goshen's the real deal, man.
Are they?
Yeah. Oh, look, that's the game Bubba's going to, right?
Yeah, that is. Yeah. The Goshen High School.
No. Yeah, they're good. This is going to be a good matchup.
Do you think that's why Bubba hasn't been talking about Warsaw football because they lost two?
They had two L's, yeah. They ate those L's. They ate those 43 points each time.
They ate them?
They ate them. Nom, 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 nom. Eating L's.
Is that why they're bringing him on at halftime to give him the key to the city?
They are?
Oh, are they 4-1, 3-1?
No. Oh, they haven't updated their website.
They had two games canceled?
What the fuck? What are they playing? What, Weber International?
I don't know.
Or Warner Christian, whatever
and
it
they
is?
Well, they're either going to play the best or the worst defense in the county.
Concord.
They just don't know yet.
Oh, man, they lost 33-0 to Concord. There's no way.
Did Warsaw lose to Concord?
I don't know if they played them yet.
I thought they played Concord and beat them 19-0.
What's up? Always canceled games.
Oh, we're really in the rabbit hole here.
No, they haven't played. They haven't played, but Wawawasi.
Wawasi?
Wawawasi.
Wawasi. Wawasi.
They beat them. Didn't. Oh, I can't believe we're fucking.
Well, we're going to get off this. We were just being funny.
Yeah. Well, good. You know, Bubba, have a safe trip.
You think they'll let Bubba get in there first?
When is he leaving?
Tonight.
Today. Oh, so you guys are off the rest of the week?
Yeah.
Oh, lucky fellas.
We got some best ofs that you can listen to. Rhett is a star.
Are you going to stay up late and get drunk watching SMU UCF, Lemmy?
No.
No?
No, no. I'm not going to watch that. I think it's about a 2.5-point spread.
It's a good game. I think SMU wins it outright. I bet. You know, I'm saying.
Is that what you're going with? I can't. I'm going back to Warsaw Tigers. No. So you guys don't want to. You guys don't want to join me at the football game.
No, but I will tell you. Hold on. We have a major announcement that broke. I think yesterday, the Savannah Bananas are coming April 29th to Tampa Bay to bring Banana Ball to the Bay Area.
Wait, it's like a trial run? Are they playing
they
a home game?
It's a traveling thing they do, kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters, but they call it Banana Ball.
Where's it going to be, Steinbrenner?
I'm guessing that's where they're going to go, but they're going to be in Tampa April 29th. Would you guys go to see Banana Ball?
Oh, yeah.
You shitting me? Especially if they have the dugout club
I think
open.
We should do a show thing there, like a little cross-promotion thing.
Yeah, we should
thing.
Do live, do live
Bubba,
from them.
Yeah, Bubba.
I'll get our executive producer on that.
Yeah, you need to.
The filthy?
You need to jump on that.
Rhett, we just promoted you. You just got a promotion on the
I would actually
show.
Reach All out right. to them and like be the official radio show
hey, we're the
for
radio
the
correspondent
bananas,
for Steinbrenner Field.
For the Savannah Bananas.
We just had a sold-out dugout club event.
Yeah, that's
Bubba
true.
Army Night.
Yeah.
We'll have to get a hold of them. And by the way,
we have people sneaking in. We're such a big deal.
We might have actually a good game because the Warsaw Tigers beat the Wawa Seas 36-0.
No, they're going to kill Goshen. It's not going to be
Goshen, but Goshen beat them 36-0.
Oh.
Yeah, it could be a good game.
Well, I thought Goshen lost 33-0. I thought that was an L for
that's
Goshen.
Why. I thought that was because they had two games canceled.
Wawa so like Oh, yeah, that's right. They beat them 28-7. That's Concord.
No.
I can't believe this fucking. I'm on this thing right now. No. Goshen.
They lost to Concord.
Concord.
That's
yeah,
right.
There you go.
That's
and Concord.
Right.
Warsaw beat Concord 19. 19- okay.
Yeah,
this is going to be a
7-0. No, it's going to be a slaughtering. Yeah. It's going to be. I don't think Goshen scores against Warsaw. I think it's going to be another Warsaw shutout. And they win 39-0.
39-0 is your prediction?
That's my prediction.
Rhett, what's your prediction?
I'll double that.
68-0? 78-0?
Yeah.
You think it's going to be 78-0? You think they're putting up a 78 spot?
It'll be their best game of the season.
78-0. Wow. Rhett,
you think,
okay.
you think it's like because Bubba's going to
attendance.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's going to inspire those young men.
That's the most famous man.
I
person.
Don't even think it is.
Doesn't even matter. That's the most famous person
is,
from Warsaw.
He is the most famous person
Why don't
in
you
Warsaw,
ask old
Indiana.
Girl?
From their high school?
No, from the city of Warsaw.
Why don't you ask old girl up Google. There, Lemmy?
She doesn't get the answer right.
Oh.
Alexa, who is the most famous person from Warsaw,
Fame
Indiana?
Fame is hard to measure, but MIT gave it the old college try. Data from their Pantheon project shows that the most famous people of the last 6,000 years are
Alexa,
Aristotle and...
shut up. Alexa, who is the most famous person from Warsaw, Indiana? Alexa?
She's so tired of answering.
Alexa, who is the most famous person from Warsaw, Indiana?
From Wikipedia.org, one of the most famous people born in Warsaw was Maria Skłodowska-Curie, who achieved international recognition for
her
research.
Thank you.
Brian, she said that like four times.
Hold on, hold on.
You're so welcome. Your kindness really gives me a charge.
Marie Curie was in Warsaw, Poland, not Warsaw,
I know. That's
Indiana.
She doesn't get it.
Nobody caught that this morning, I don't think.
They thought Madame Curie was from Warsaw, Indiana.
I'm sure some common sense kicked in, but I don't think anyone mentioned
it. Hey, other scientists, check this out.
Alexa.
She invented meth.
Alexa, who is the most famous person from the Indiana city of Warsaw?
From Wikipedia.org, Tamara de Lempicka was a famous artist born in Warsaw.
Oh, thank you, Alexa. Bitch. Whatever. Yeah, Brian, did you look it up? Did you
John McMartin?
No.
Jill Young?
What are you using?
Jill Long Thompson?
No, not the senator.
Merlin Hall.
Those people are below. Brian, what are you on? Are you on Google? You got to go to Bing and you got to type in the most famous person.
That's Bubba Love Sponge.
Exactly.
He has a fame meter of 3 out of 100, according to this, which triples the fame meter for John McMartin, Jill Long Thompson, and Merlin Hull.
Most famous person.
So who's Merlin Hull?
Merlin
Hull looks like a
badass.
Merlin Hull is an actor.
All right, Lummy Bing.
He was a lawyer, a newspaper publisher, and a member of the U.S. House of Representatives.
Lummy Bing, 3.7 billion results. List of famous people born in Warsaw, United States of America, number one. Bubba the Love Sponge.
No, he is. He's number one.
Number two, Ben Higgins. Number three, John McMartin. Number four, Carl E. Weick. Number five, Jill Long Thompson.
I'll tell you right now, though, the coolest name, Paul Dyer Murica. There's a guy with the last name Murica.
Is he from Indiana?
From Warsaw.
Really?
Yep. An American metallurgist and president of the International Nickel Company of Canada.
That guy should be number two on the most famous people there, just for that last name.
He's an inventor and recipient of the 1938 John Fritz Medal. Yep. Paul Dyer Murica.
FamousPeople.com, Bubba the Love Sponge, number one most famous person from Warsaw, Indiana, host of the Bubba the Love Sponge show. Bubba the Love Sponge Clem is an American radio personality and businessman.
What are you laughing about, Rhett?
Who hosts the Bubba the Love Sponge show?
Okay, right. Listen, let's get back to football.
What about Oreo Jones? Time out. Oreo Jones is from Warsaw.
Who?
Oreo Jones.
Who the hell's Oreo Jones?
He's a rapper, an MC, a songwriter, and radio station manager. He has released 3 full-length albums and 2 collaborative albums, one with Sirius Black.
Who?
Sirius Black.
Who's that?
I think it was one of the guys from Harry Potter.
Is he really? He's just from Indiana.
And there's also a famous drag queen from Warsaw.
RuPaul?
Shay Coulee.
Shay Queef?
Shay Coulee.
Listen, in Lummy Bing World, Bumba is the mayor.
He's meeting the mayor.
He is meeting the mayor. He is going to be announced at halftime.
Whoa. Stop the clock. Ben Higgins?
Yeah, the basketball player. Yeah.
No.
Number two on the list.
The star of the 20th season of ABC's The Bachelor.
No.
Yeah, but once again, it's The Bachelor. So.
No, I know.
I'm kidding. Come on, Brian.
But, you know, maybe Bubba's now the second best looking guy ever to come out of Warsaw.
Yeah,
now that Ben Higgins is on,
going to swoon over the Bachelor.
He's still number one. He's going to put that football jersey on and go out to the midfield.
I think you brought it up, but that football jersey he put on a couple of years ago probably fits him much better now.
Oh, 100%.
Dude, even my mom said Bubba looks great. Like, every time I tell someone that I work for Bubba and I show them a picture of him now, they're like, oh my God, he looks great.
Well, that's a positive.
I know.
Now, Brian, do you let Bubba know that?
No, of course he doesn't.
No.
Only time he gets on the mic, he just says, yes, sir.
When am I going to bring that up, though?
When you're like, Bubba,
let me tell you something. I showed a photo of you to my mom. She got completely wet.
Her panties were just dripping. She was wearing khakis.
I could hear. It sounded like Niagara Falls.
Like Kraft
in
mac
that
and
bitch.
Cheese.
And then Bubba's into what you have to say.
And then he's gonna be like, "Show me a picture of your mom."
Yeah, exactly.
And then we're gonna spend two segments looking at my mom's Facebook.
Okay,
page.
So what's
is
wrong with that?
Is your mom hot?
She's okay. She's all right.
Is she a gingy too?
She's a gingy.
No. No.
No? Oh, not a gingy with frecked up knocks?
I mean, not quite.
I'm sorry, dude.
Jeez, Brian. Talking about his mom's boobs.
I'm teasing.
Are they big?
Huh? You know what? She actually, full disclosure.
No, we don't want to hear.
No, we don't want to hear.
Well, any bad, anything that's going to bring
no,
us
it's not
down.
Gonna be bad. It's, no.
She had a double mastectomy.
No.
she wore a bikini. She has a huge
no,
bush
I probably,
down there.
I mean, I probably just, shouldn't bring ugh. It up, but. She had asked me to maybe, you know, try and haggle her way into a pair of Diacos. She's familiar with Dr. Dan, and she's looking for, I believe, a tummy tuck and just a lift.
Well, there you go. Yeah, that's the way to kind of get it going, is to grease Bubba with compliments.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Be like, hey, my mom really thinks you're hot. And
have her call in and run her numbers.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And
what's your vag score, man?
Give her vag score. And then maybe she can. You know, she isn't going to just get a set of Diacos. She's got to contribute something to the show.
Well, here's the thing.
Other than you, which really wasn't much of a contribution.
Me as a son, I care a lot about my mom. So I am still mulling over the personal decision on whether or not I want to involve her.
I'll tell you right now, don't do it. Keep her as far away from the show as possible. But
I know. That's what my gut tells me, Brian.
If you're so inclined...
But wouldn't it be
such
great content?
It would be great content.
How old is she?
Awesome.
How old is she?
50 this year.
What if she could get one of those vag Morpheus's treatments?
The rejuvenation deal?
Yeah.
I don't really want to
hear
about
that. On the air,
that.
Though. She's got to do it on air.
Right, you might just want to rethink
show.
That.
Yeah,
content,
I know.
Content's king, guys.
But it's content king. So you know what? Brian's right. You probably should do it, right?
You have to now because we put it out there, and Bubba's going to hear right. about this.
And Monday chat, chat's going to be there. Be like, oh, Brad, your mom thinks I'm hot.
Rhett's mom thinks I'm hot.
She wants some double D's. Yeah.
I've been known to throw a pair on him.
Good thing we've got a huge audience for the sports show, so I know.
We do.
Oh, and actually, we've got the ones that matter, my
actually,
friend.
Actually, I was about to say, hey, you know what? The 62 people on YouTube and the millions that are listening above our radio, guess what, Rhett? These are the ones that will definitely be in chat just scrolling through there.
Anybody who has time to be on chat right now is definitely on chat during the big show.
Listen, it's their lunch break.
I get it. I'm not, look, I love all of our listeners. We love all the Bubba Army. But whoever's on chat right now is going, and now that you said that, oh, you're not like you're going to remember.
Yeah, I know.
No. Poke him in the chest.
That's not what I said.
Jeez,
that's not
Louise.
At all what I said.
Brad, you did say that.
That's not what I said.
You're like, oh, we don't have that many like people.
Barely
that's not
anybody's
what I said
listening
either.
To this.
That's not what I said either.
Anyway.
We're part of the number one sports show in Tampa
simulcast.
On Wednesdays at noon, broadcasting.
Simulcast.
There you
81390 Bubba. And by the way, you did say with all our big listeners that they won't say anything.
Yeah, well, nobody's going to remember.
Go check your sheets.
Look, man, nobody's even going to remember Monday, okay?
Look, man.
Look, we gave
man,
it a good
when
shot.
The Lions beat New England this
it's
weekend,
it's
going to
be excellent. It's good. We're going to finally come together as a defense, and they're going to execute my game plan. It's going to happen.
We're
going
to make it
Brian,
happen.
Brian, why didn't you come to the tailgate? Because you actually, we had.
Yeah, what the fuck, Brian?
We had a couple of decent amount of people that came up.
Oh, I was in Orlando.
Playing golf?
No, I took my daughter to see the Disney Cirque du Soleil. We did Disney Springs.
Oh,
we
had what a great dad.
We had a good
couldn't
time.
You just wanted
Saturday.
To do all that stuff, and you just so happened to bring your daughter along.
It was actually a really cheap Saturday, so I was able to use my American Express fine hotel rewards at the Waldorf Astoria.
American Express.
I didn't leave home without it. I essentially got the hotel for free at the Waldorf, which was pretty awesome.
Brian, well, you know what? You would have met. We had a couple people come up, said they really enjoy the sports show. One, I'm not going to mention their names, but... One of them is he runs the visitors locker room for the Bucks.
Whoa.
And a NFL and college referee. And let's go to one of our other probably great listeners that listen that Rhett doesn't think we have. 813.
Lemmy. Babyface.
Hey, we met him too,
Rhett.
Babyface.
We did.
Babyface.
Does he look like he sounds?
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
What up? Hey, I wish I would have met Babyface out there. I was trying to look for him, but –
Didn't look hard enough. I was
lawyer stuff, but no big deal.
You can always reach out to me. Email you, brian@hunterlawgroup.com.
I don't need you for any legal advice, bro. I was just coming to say what's happening.
Oh, okay. I got you.
That's it.
I thought you said you needed some lawyer talk.
No, he said he didn't. He just wanted to meet you.
I got that on lock already, bro.
Yeah, he's every time. Anyways.
It's all good, man.
Has Rhett gave his mother's Instagram account out yet? I'd like to take a look at it.
Oh, yeah. Right.
No, it's all privated up.
Mm-hmm.
I can't give any more clues.
Your mom's on the gram?
She is on the gram.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your mom's really out there.
Yeah, she's on the gram.
Does she have an OF?
No, not yet.
Yeah, she's on the OF.
So let me ask you this, White Iced Tea. Would you subscribe to Rhett's mom's OnlyFans if she had one?
The first day.
And then be off the second day.
Nah, I might give it a month, a month's worth.
There you go.
There you go, Rhett. Come
so
on.
I think I found a way for her to pay for those
Diacos. I might, you know, be a subscriber for, you know, a while.
There you go.
The Filth's mom, dude. Gotta check that out.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, Lord. I think we already gave her a name.
The Filth's mom. The Filthy Ginger's mom.
No, but Brian, man, missed out on meeting them.
She's not a ginge, isn't she?
She's not a ginge at all.
No, she's not. Is she blonde?
Yeah.
Oh.
How tall?
Don't worry about it.
You brought her into this. Not
six
us.
Foot seven.
Not us. We did
six,
not.
6'7".
6'7".
Ooh, no, she is 6 foot seven, no, about probably 340 pounds.
She got a donkey donk.
No, I guarantee she's probably about 5'7" and 140.
She's probably
like 5'2", 225.
Oh, man. He said she's kind of good
hangers,
looking.
Bro, looking like some tube sock hanging off her chest.
Hey, don't talk about my mother.
Yeah,
that way.
That's why we haven't been insulting to her.
I mean, I'm just giving a description of what she could be.
Right, yeah, right.
I'm
but
sure
it's not really.
Hot, though,
if
right,
she
right.
just absolutely fucking gave up, yeah.
So, did
you
wear your ICP jersey to the to the tailgate?
He did.
No, why would I wear an ICP jersey for?
You sound like a juggalo.
No, he's a Bucks fan. He's White Iced Tea.
What do you mean? You buck down along with my little Marcello. Buck down to the socks and the sneakers.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
Why
would I wear ICP? Even though Juggalos are pretty cool, I can't lie.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, you sound like a cool guy who likes to slam Faygo.
You know? Yeah, you know. I don't know. Have any of you guys ever been to the gathering of the Juggalos?
No, but I've heard about it.
That's something
times.
I want to experience before the end of my life, dude.
And all you guys would fit in perfect.
It's just peak humanity out there.
Nah, they don't do drugs. It's not like Summer Jam where they got the whore line where they got one girl in the parking lot taking like 40 D's an hour. And that's at Summer Jam. Big, big one.
You go there a lot?
That's at Summer Jam.
Nah, but I've seen it on Instagram.
You don't know
terrible.
Nothing about that Summer Jam, Brian.
You know, don't go to Summer Jam. Yeah, anyway, got to get back to work. You guys have a good show.
Take it easy.
Thanks, White Iced Tea. Brian, you missed out. I totally forgot you didn't come to the tailgate, man. We had, you know, a lot of good. I mean, the guy that actually was is a fan of ours. He came up. He was actually he was the instant replay ref.
Wow.
7-7-2.
He was fucking yoked.
Yeah, he was.
Those referees are getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, well, they're on TV. They got more.
They're doing the MLB workout called steroids. 7-7-2.
Fire in a hole, Red Mom.
Hey. That's how Red's mom.
He just said fire in the hole, Red's mom.
I know.
And that was it.
I thought he was going
to
keep
that's
going.
All he had. You know what? Oh, kudos shit. To him for not going any
further. He knew when to cut himself off.
Yeah.
Yep.
Brian, I want to talk to you, you know, even though we haven't heard from our number one caller, not Henstar, because we're not obviously talking about basketball.
Or tennis.
Tennis.
Who's
Little Purple
we will
Jersey.
Not hear from Henstar with the way the Panthers are looking.
What do you mean?
Panthers are going to start 1-6, dude.
They won last week, didn't they?
No.
Didn't they win?
No, they didn't.
No, they blew it, didn't they?
Did they?
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield has I think like a 16.
Oh, he's the worst quarterback in the NFL. One player is worse, Justin Fields.
Let me ask you a question, because I know that it's easy to talk shit about Baker, and I'm not saying he's going to turn it around at any point this season, but when you look at the quarterbacks who have gone to Carolina, I feel like this is more of a Matt Rhule problem, because Teddy Two Gloves and Sam Darnold were not fucking dog shit before they got there.
First off, Teddy Two Glove was really good there. But
he lost them multiple games. I don't know why people forget that.
No. So listen, the Browns, they play close against the Browns 26-24. I never disrespect Teddy Two Gloves on the show.
1916. Yeah, I'm a Teddy Two Gloves fan, but goddamn, that Carolina year was probably his worst.
No, it was one of the best for me because I had Robbie Anderson on my fantasy team. And that's the only guy he could find. 1916 against the Giants, and the Giants are playing a lot better. They beat the Saints.
Which was, unfathomable.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then it's the Cardinals. I mean, the Cardinals need to come around.
Well, but now here's the problem for them. Their next three, they got 49ers, Rams, and Bucks. They are staring down the barrel of a 1-6 start and a head coaching change at that point.
I was going to say, do you see them firing?
I think 1-6, they might that following week when they lose at Atlanta. Definitely.
Yeah, QBR in the Matt Rhule era with Carolina. 56.8 for Teddy Bridgewater, 38.8 for Sam Darnold. And a measly 15.3 for Baker Mayfield.
No, Baker Mayfield is literally out there costing them games.
Incredible.
Hold on. I cannot believe these words are going to come out of my mouth.
Oh, don't say it. I know what you're going to say.
I think their record would be the same, but they might be playing better if Blaine Gabbert was their starting quarterback.
Wow.
That's how bad Baker Mayfield is playing right now. That's how bad he's playing.
How disrespectful.
Justin Fields has a higher QBR than Baker Mayfield.
And it is awful in Chicago. I saw that there was a graph that had come out today that was basically the ratio of a drop back and what it ends up being. Chicago has the highest percentage of incompletions and sacks on a dropback by a huge margin.
But the difference is this. Like, Mayfield is missing. So his underlying numbers are bad. But when you really peel them back, they're even worse because he is missing passes that he should absolutely be making. That's the problem. You can live with a 59% completion percentage if the guy's making some throws that if he's making all the throws he should be and his receivers are dropping and the defenses are playing well. That's fine.
Right.
But this guy's completing, 55% of his passes? And he's missing passes that he should be completing 65% of his passes right now with what he's had to work with. And it's not like he's bereft of weapons. He has Christian McCaffrey. He has DJ Moore.
Surprising.
He has Robbie Anderson. I mean, he has weapons around him. The offensive line is not terrible. It's just he is a terrible football player. He needs to just own it at this point in his career.
3-2-1.
Go up. Let me see the stats on the season for him.
3-2-1. Yeah.
I was going back and watching the Alex Stein video when he was at the Bucks with you guys.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, did you notice how he was dissing the Bucks stadium?
Well, he's a Cowboys fan. That's why.
Jerry World.
I mean,
Jerry World is the Death Star.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, me and Lummy are a couple of the biggest Buck fans here, and we could tell you that outside the pirate ship and the novelty of that, Raymond James is not a dump, but it's definitely not the best.
It's a cement stadium. They upgraded the suites.
They don't have enough toilets.
It's a bottom half stadium in the NFL. Now with the cruise nest taking up one of the better features, which was the open end zone.
3-2-1. What's your name? Is this Rhett's mom?
This is VR watching you.
Oh, how's it going? No, I mean, be honest. I mean, look, Tampa. I love the stadium. It's obviously a big upgrade from Houlihan Stadium or whatever you want to call it, Tampa Stadium. But yeah, I mean, it's not like Brian said, they are short on toilets.
I don't know. I just think Alex Stein rolling up, coming into town, you invite him to this thing, roll out the red carpet, and he disses the stadium. That's all.
Bubba didn't build the stadium. He didn't diss the tailgate. He didn't diss Bubba.
Yeah,
I mean, putting over all
people
of our
are allowed
stuff.
To have an opinion about that about our stadium. And the guys, look, if you go from filet mignon to McDonald's, then, or even Five Guys, it's going to seem like a pretty substantial downgrade. And he's used to Jerry's World. Jerry's World is a spectacle.
Yeah.
I've never
been there, but I've seen the tour of it, and I've had people who have gone there, and they've said it's like nothing they've ever been to. It's like Mecca. It will change your life.
Well, I hope his mom's feeling better. Take care, you guys.
Take care.
Thanks.
So, yeah, Baker Mayfield, 54.7% completion percentage. And it's not like he's been playing the best defenses in the NFL. Like, the Giants were good. The Browns are average. The Cardinals are not a good defense.
No.
And the Saints, okay. Yeah, he has played, I guess, three top half defenses.
Yeah, it's not bad. Let's run through these calls real quick, Brian.
All right. Oh, I love the way people wait until the 2 minutes left in the show to call in.
641. Run it quick.
Hey, what's up, guys? Oh. Jonathan Taylor's up. Oh, Jonathan Taylor's out for the game.
Fuck!
Jonathan Taylor's out for the game.
Wait, how do you know this? Do you have some sort of like handicap, injured reserve connection?
No, it's just on Facebook.
Do you have a source by chance?
This is our USFL, XFL, LFF.
Adam Schefter just announced it.
Oh, well, that's pretty official.
Yeah.
Schefter was right about Brady retiring.
Yeah.
Fuck.
But they moved him out already.
Well, it looks like I'm fucked again this week.
I told you not to take Taylor number one.
You son of a bitch.
I'm joking.
Brandon, what's going on with the LFL? LFF to wrap it up. The Lingerie Football League that you're in charge
nothing
of.
But all right, guys, bye. I don't want to take so long.
Bye, Brandon.
Bye, Brandon.
Brandon, we're going to have to put you in charge of the LFL or whatever it is. I found out it's still going on. There's games going on right now. I think there is, but maybe you just keep us up on it. Might be a little more interesting and a little more interesting for you to watch than the USFL.
So who do you think's been used worse this year, Jonathan Taylor or Christian McCaffrey? I think it's McCaffrey because Taylor, I think, is injured.
Yeah.
We know he's injured now, well, but yeah, I think no he shit. Was injured the last 2 weeks. I think he was playing hurt.
And I think besides the 9 carries against the Jaguars, they're still giving him 20 carries. He just wasn't breaking out, so.
No, I mean, he's still averaging, 4 yards a carry and 4.9 yards a catch, and he only has one touchdown. Ouch. Oof, I would have hated to pick him number one.
I think Julio Jones is also on that list.
Of what?
Underutilized players.
Oh, you drafted him as well?
I think Julio Jones is on that list.
Well, I'll tell you what, Robert Woods needs to get more looks in Tennessee, and Darnell Mooney certainly needs some love.
Yeah, 100%. Just to follow up here, all-pro running back Jonathan Taylor will not play Thursday's game against the Broncos due to an ankle injury, per Adam Schefter.
I wonder how that – I bet you the line has moved already on that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We got to go. It's 1:30. I got to go fix my fantasy football team, and Brian's got to go back to work and be a real-time, big-time lawyer like he is. You will know if their law firm gets Tom Brady in the divorce hearing, because Brian will probably come in with a Tom Brady jersey on. It would be the only time that he will wear a jersey. Is that right, Brian?
What if we get the
if you land Tom
that'll
Brady,
that'll be the secret Iggy yes, exactly. Nod to it.
So if you start wearing a Tom Brady shirt jersey everywhere,
but don't talk about it on the big show. You have to be a listener of the sports show to know if we're representing Tom Brady.
A lot of sports show exclusives today.
And I will tell you this: if it's Giselle, I will wear Burberry.
Okay, perfect. Burberry. Okay. And don't forget, everybody, thank you for tuning in. We are off tomorrow and Friday. We will have best ofs going. Check out all the merchandise, Bubba Army Shop, BubbaArmyStore.com. And we will see you Monday, twitch.tv/TheBubbaArmy. And don't forget, if you listen to the show today, don't forget to put in chat on Monday. Brett's mom wants big tits from Diaco. Thank you, everyone. Have a great rest of your day and a good weekend. See you.